afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina, our weekly outdoor radio show here on 94.5 WGTK FM, The Answer. Hope you are making those plans to get outdoors these days. You know, it's an amazing thing. I had the South Carolina Outdoor Press Association conference down in Edgefield at the National Wild Turkey Federation this past week. Well, I guess it was last weekend. And it's amazing how you can go into something that is so much fun and come out so tired. I don't understand it, you know, but you go, and when you go to one of these outdoor writers conferences, we're not sitting around a room talking about outdoor stories. I mean, so we got down there Wednesday night. We had a cookout at one of the members. He's a member of a Beagle Club in Edgefield. So we went out to their clubhouse and ate different kinds, you know, fried catfish, fried stripers, pickled shrimp. Look, don't wrinkle your nose at it. It's good. Trust me. One of our members, our past president, Brian Carroll, did a pickled shrimp. It is so good. And then, you know, Thursday morning, we're up. We went to Clark's Hill, went striper fishing. Had a good time catching a few stripers. Caught a catfish. We were in 110 feet of water and caught a catfish at 30 feet. I don't know how that happens. How's a catfish swimming 70 feet off the bottom? But fishing with those big live herring, and went out with William Sasser's guide service. Hunted some fish. It was kind of a slow morning. He said the mornings have been slower compared to, you know, midday or after. So, but he worked really hard for us. We had a good time. And, of course, when you're with a bunch of outdoor writers, there's no shortage of stories to talk about. And, you know, at one point it was a little slow, and so I pulled out my fly rod. Big mistake. I have never taken so much grief from so many people about fly fishing in my life. The whole rest of the conference, they were talking about, oh, yeah, you know, you're kind of up above the rest of us, that fly rod stuff. And I said, you know, just a little harder to do than trailing bait. Of course, I didn't catch anything. I mean, we had a few fish up high, but nothing that I could get to with 100 feet of fly line and a little bit of backing. But so, yeah, we were up early Thursday morning fishing. Beautiful day out on the water. Then Thursday afternoon, we came back and had lunch sponsored by Aiken Visitor Center. Learned a little about Aiken. They have a park in the middle of downtown Aiken that is larger than Central Park. So if you ever visit Aiken, South Carolina, be sure to check it out. And then we had a presentation by ALX Rods based in Aiken, South Carolina. Alex and those are a huge supporter of the South Carolina, University of South Carolina Bass Fishing Club. And so he came out and did a presentation to us, explained how his rod guides work, and just a very interesting. And if you never dealt with a rod dealer, you know, Anthony Gagliardi and Level Rods is a big sponsor of this, big part of this show. And but it was good to hear from someone else. And he's got a growing operation. I think he's going to be in Cabela's this year. So that's a South Carolina-made rod that's going to be in Cabela's, which is pretty cool for those. And a really good company to deal with. Thursday night, I can't remember what we did. Seems like PJ Perez took out for dinner. Then Friday morning, we had an archery deer hunt at a volunteer there at the National Wild Turkey Federation. Let a couple of us come deer hunt on his property. You know, we were sunk by the full moon, which I think is why the fishing was pretty bad, too. But, you know, just sitting outdoors, first time at a deer stand this year, kind of breezy, cool. Pete Rogers and I went out. Each of us saw a squirrel. I saw a gecko, and I saw 9 turkeys. So, you know, a good way to start off the season. Cloudy, cool, just relaxing, just bringing it down into a couple of notches. Friday afternoon, had a dove hunt there. Now, of course, dove season hasn't been the best this year in South Carolina. Some places it has been, but between Hermine and then Friday morning, we had a low-pressure system come through, and doves just really don't like weather changes. So not the best, but again, you know, I was shooting next to Jim Cassida, and he can shoot. I got a little bit more on him later on. But just a really good time. Friday afternoon, then Friday night, we had a low country boil. Always good food. Saturday morning, had some seminars. I actually went and shot the north course at the Palmetto Shooting Complex, Sporting Clays, and came back and had lunch again. Then we had a presentation by Cylinx, which is a hearing. Well, they're a military contractor, but they're starting to get in the shooting market. We're going to have, I'm just teasing you a little bit because they're going to be on with us to talk about their products. I've got a set of their noise suppression talking headphones, whatever you want to call it, communication systems at the house. I'm going to try it out in the next week or so and let you know exactly how it, but it appears to be a very well-made product. And I think if you're in the shooting sports, which a lot of the high schoolers are these days, you know, hearing protection for later on in life is a huge thing. And like I said, Silinx will be on the show, give you a little more information in a little more technical terms than I am. Then we went and shot Sporting Clays again. I got to shoot the South course, and Rhett was not kidding when he said it was sporty. we had a good time. I got paired up with Jim Cassada, and speaking of Jim Cassada, I want to take a minute and congratulate him. If you don't know about Jim, Jim was a history teacher over at Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina, forever, I think. His home is up near the mountains, I think, from Bryson City. But Jim is only one of four to be inducted into the Fly Fishing Hall of Fame. They just moved to Bryson City. The museum moved from Cherokee to Bryson City a month or so ago. The literary giant and Sporting Classics contributor was recently named as one of the first inductees in the Fly Fishing Museum of the Southern Appalachians Hall of Fame. The official ceremony will be held, I think, this Saturday, today, in Bryson City, North Carolina, with Sporting Classics in town to cover the event. Cassada was only one of four professionals chosen for this new recognition. He was selected for the Hall of Fame's communications category, joining Walter Carey from Crafts, Wanda Taylor from Recreation, and Phil Bracewell, Conservation, in the inaugural class. Cassada is the epitome of a man of letters, a former history professor at Winthrop University. He's written for Sporting Classics for almost all of its 35 years. He's written and edited numerous books, including Remembering the Greats, Profile of Turkey Hunters, Turkey Hunting's Old Masters, The Lost Classics of Jack O'Connor, and fitting for this award, Fly Fishing in the Great Smoky Mountains, An Insider's Guide to a Pursuit of Passion. You can pick up Jim's book at sportingclassicsstore.com, read his columns and features in Sporting Classics, and leave your congratulatory messages in the comments section below. So this is congratulations to Jim. It was funny, I got paired up with him, and Jim grew up quail hunting like I did, and of course, he's a different generation, but still a great guy, and he can still shoot numerous times on the range. On the course, we were saying, now, that's obviously designed by somebody who was a shooter and not a hunter, because there's no quail that's going to fly straight at you. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. But we shot, had a great time. He beat me. We were probably neck and neck for the most part, and towards the end, after having shot 100 rounds that morning and shooting another 100 rounds, I was, my shoulder was starting to take a beating, starting to give me a little bit of a fit. But the last station, or next to last station, were two rabbits. And they were set when they came off the thrower. They hit a terrace and just went nuts. That was the best one on the whole thing. I don't think I hit but one of them out of six. So kind of did not finish well. Jim beat me. We had a good time. Saturday night, came back, had our auction fundraiser. It was a good time with the guys from the South Carolina Outdoor Press Association and National Wild Turkey Federation. Want to give a big shout to them for hosting us. PJ Perea is down there. PJ is leaving the NWTF. He's going to work for the University of Georgia. He'll be over their research facility at Savannah Riverside. So he's kind of moving from one area to the other. Science is kind of his passion. He'll be missed. We're going to keep him in our association just because he's been such an integral part of it for so long. But National Wild Turkey Federation, going to say a little bit more about them later on. But great time. But, yeah, came back town just worn out. I don't understand how that happens. But we had a good time. Ate a lot of good ideas for show segments and all, and that'll come through the next year. So that's my week. How was yours? So hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. A little Bon Jovi to get you going there. I know it's Saturday afternoon, but wake up, people. It's fall. Things are happening outdoors. Regardless, I'm glad you're tuned in today and listening. It's always fun to meet people to listen to the show. You sit here in the studio and you do this week after week, and I know a few people that listen because I get texts after the show. Good show. Well, that was interesting. And where can I go for more information on this and that? But it's always interesting when you're off and just out of the blue, somebody says, "Oh, yeah, I listen to your show. It's great." And you forget how many people might be listening, which is kind of a scary thing. I'd rather it be just the five or six people I know, but I appreciate you tuning in and listening to the show. And, you know, if you ever have any feedback or anything, you can call the station or email me at roger@woodsandwatersouthcarolina.com. I'd love to get some feedback on the show. It's only been 2.5 years, and I assume people still listen. But anyway, the first segment, I'm sorry about telling you about my hardships at the Outdoor Writers Conference, but, you know, it's a tough life. Somebody's got to do it, and most of the guys I'm there with, a lot of them do it full-time. It's not just a side thing for them, but a lot of great guys. Pete Rogers, right here in the upstate. A couple of Teach from, we call him Teach because he was a teacher. Then you got Dan Kibler, who with Carolina Sportsman Magazine. Brian Cope writes a lot of fishing articles, another good guy. And then Jim Cassada. It's just a fun time hanging out with people who are a lot better known than I am, listening to them and just having a good time. And you know what it is? When a bunch of guys get together, especially when it's outdoors as the center of attention, it's just going to be a fun time, and it was. And I appreciate those guys and what they do, because without it, you know, especially like Jim, has been doing it so long, you know, I read his stuff growing up. So anyway, we didn't get to a calendar. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you there is a lot going on outdoors in the fall. I mean, I have a stack here that's probably 3/4 inch. I printed it all out. You know, for a while there, I tried to scan this stuff, but it's just, I like paper. You like the sound of paper, but... Anyway, this next segment is going to be nothing but calendar, because there's just so much going on. So let's get right to it. I got saw a story from the Department of Natural Resources, actually Kim Leverich with DNR, that they're having a South Carolina DNR Take One Make One program is hosting a free youth deer clinic in Sumter next Saturday, October 1st, from 8:40 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a clinic to introduce kids to the basics of deer hunting. And I can vouch for this. I've been to two of them down at the NWTF over the past couple of years. It covers hands-on sessions, which is what I like. Cooking. And if you're going to go out and hunt, you need to learn how to eat what you shoot or what you bring home. Or don't go. Or just go and enjoy the wildlife. But if you're going to go hunting, you need to bring that back home, cook and eat it. So the first thing is hands-on cooking. And it's not like, here's what you do. They are cooking. They are breading deer, cube steak and frying it. They're doing, you know, deep fried, whatever. It is hands-on. Game care and prep after the shot. What do you do now? Hands-on. Tree stand safety, which is August is Tree Stand Safety Month. And I've had it on a couple of times this fall because it's important. You always see somebody that had an accident deer hunting. It's usually falling out of a tree stand. So tree stand safety, they hook them up, show them how to use all the safety harnesses, lifelines, let them climb, let them do a climber, let them get up in a ladder stand. Blood trailing, it's important after the shot to know what you're looking at. Marksmanship, take them down the range, let them shoot guns. And it's very well regulated, trust me. I mean, supervision is great. And then the hunting laws. And then what they eat, what they cook that morning, they eat for lunch. It's a great one. So anyway, it's a limited registration, but if you're interested, you can go to the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources webpage, look it up, or you can get a hold of Kim Leverich. That's leverichk@dnr.sc.gov. Encourage you to go if you've got somebody over in Sumter area that can get to that. Wow, Friday, September 30th and Saturday, October the 1st is the 14th annual Swamp Fest at the Congaree 2016. You know, this is a barbecue and blues deal down at the Congaree National Park, which is in Hopkins, South Carolina. Concert starts 11 all the way to 4. Festivals and activities start at 9 a.m., go to 5. It's a rain or shine event. Family, food, fun, live entertainment, walk-a-thon, gospel rock, soul, folk, dance music, and more. Vendors, arts and crafts. Rides for the kids, hay rides, games, so much more. Congaree National Park, which is a great little place to go for a family outing, too. The event lineup, well, it's too much. It's just too much. Time, I can sit here and spend 5 minutes on each of these. But anyway, something for you to get out and do. Congaree National Park Family Festival. Santee Cooper, if you're into striper fishing over in Santee Cooper, the season opens back on October the 1st. So opening day for striped bass season on Santee Cooper System Coastal Rivers is October 1st. Bag limit of 3 fish per day with a minimum size of 26 inches remains in effect through May 30th of 2017 closure. So if you're into striper fishing over that way, there you go. Skirmishes for Lexington. I'm a history guy. American Civil War Living History and Reenactment takes place Saturday and Sunday, October 1st and 2nd at the Clinton Cease Farm. That's 404 Old Farm Road in Lexington, South Carolina. There's skirmishes on Saturday and Sunday. Living history and camp displays, hayride. It's a $2 admission. Weapons, uniforms, a history of the Carolinas campaign. From 10 to 6 both days, drill demonstrations throughout the day. For more information, you can Google it. That's how I found it. The events, Friday, they're going to get there and set up. Saturday, 10 a.m., it opens up. Camp life and activities, civilian demonstrations, kids' antebellum games, music, drill demonstrations, kids' conscription. That's where they take you in and make you part of it. Skirmish at Red Bank Creek. Sunday, pretty much the same thing, except Sunday they usually have, they have a soldiers' church service. It's always a nice one on Sunday, these reenactments. So there you go. There's another thing you can get out and go do. That is, again, that is Skirmishes for Lexington, and it's at the Clinton Cease Farm, Old Farm Road in Lexington, South Carolina. October the 1st, you can come join us. It's Saturday, October 1st, 2016, for our first annual fundraiser. This is the South Aiken Baptist Christian School Sporting Clays first annual fundraiser. It's a 100-round sporting clays tournament. $75 includes barbecue sandwich and lunch. And it's held, convenient enough, at the National Wild Turkey Palmetto Shooting Complex, which I was just at last weekend. And it's a couple of great courses. And this is a good, a school that has a sporting clays team has a fundraiser. You need to be involved in this. You need to get your kids involved in the shooting sports. Moving right along, the Bono Peanut Festival, September 30th to October 1st. Come enjoy live music and entertainment, great food, rides, parade, and more with your family and friends. It's at the Bono Town Park, Highway 52, Bono, South Carolina. South Carolina is famous for peanuts. You'd be amazed how many peanuts we process every year. And right now they're harvesting them. But anyway, just something else that's out there for you to go do. Bono Peanut Festival. Beaufort Shrimp Festival, September 30th, October the 1st. I'm sure in Beaufort there will be fresh shrimp, seeing as the South Carolina shrimping season is in. But just another thing you can go do. If you're down around the coast, Shrimp Festival, Beaufort, South Carolina. Shellfish season opens October the 1st. The 2016-17 season for harvesting shellfish, which are clams, oysters, mussels, and other bivalves in coastal waters of South Carolina, will open 1/2 hour before official sunrise on Saturday, October 1st. Just goodness. Just shoot me now. Oyster season is here. And let me tell you what, there is nothing better than going and picking your own oysters on a cold January day and just eating some right there in the creek. They're just wonderful. But anyway, so South Carolina's shellfish season will open today. All sorts of regulations. There are public grounds, private grounds, leased grounds, all up and down the coast. If you go to the DNR webpage, you can go to their page and find this, and they'll have maps of where you can go. All the state-managed grounds are posted with boundary signs, but they have maps for you to figure out where you can go and get your own shellfish. And it's really a fun outing, but be prepared to get dirty. Pluff mud, that black stuff that's all over. It's, you're going to get nice and dirty, but I encourage you to go. If you've never been, it's something you need to do. Caesar's Head Hawk Watch. It started September the 1st, goes through November the 30th at Caesar's Head State Park. That's up in Cleveland, South Carolina. It's an opportunity to see thousands of raptors in a spectacular setting. The birds are on their way to Central and South America for the winter and catching the thermals and lining up before heading out. It's not unusual to see 200 to 300 hawks at one time, and the highest single-day count was over 5,200 birds. So you got broadwing hawks, bald eagles, osprey, sharp-shinned hawks, Cooper's hawks, American kestrels, kites, turkey vultures, and black vultures. So from early September through late November of each year, members of the Greenville County Bird Club participate in a count of migratory hawks at Caesars Head State Park. It's normally manned by volunteers, so there should be somebody there for you to talk to you when you get there, but there's one piece of equipment you've got to have. That's a pair of binoculars. So go get a pair. Go up to Caesars Head State Park and see what kind of birds you can see as they migrate south for the winter. Let's see. Had a couple minutes here. Let's skip over. Let me find something that's probably a little more interesting than those. And there's one down here that I really... Okay, Coastal Expeditions. You know, the Coastal Expeditions website, they run out of Mount Pleasant, is just full of things for you to do. And most of it involves coastal estuaries, inshore, Bull's Island. You know, they run the ferry. They're having, and during the year, they have different seminars. They've got one coming up on making fire, which is really good when you know how to do it. Let's see. You got Balloons Over Anderson coming October 7th, 8th, 9th. That used to be, I guess, the old Freedom Weekend Aloft, but, you know, with balloons and all, it's weather permitting. But it's just another thing that's happening outdoors, family, you can go do. And I'm running out of time here. Okay, October 8th and 9th, it's the 12th annual Little River Shrimp Fest, where, again, approximately 22,000 members of our community and visitors gather to celebrate this local favorite. So it's on the historic Little River waterfront. Festival goers can expect to enjoy a children's arena area, face painting, stilt walkers, balloon artists, two stages of live music, and approximately 150 different vendors, including arts and crafts. And, of course, fresh local seafood will be served by the local waterfront restaurants. And your festival food favorites will be available from a variety of talented food vendors. So just a couple of things to go get out there and do. And there's a lot more. Wish I had time to cover them all. But hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Michael Silverman from the local hiker in Spartanburg, South Carolina, about something they've got coming up. We'll see you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. There's a shop in Spartanburg, South Carolina. If you haven't heard of it, then you need to. It's called The Local Hiker. We're on the phones today with Michael Silverman, owner of The Local Hiker. Michael, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good, Roger. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here. And yeah, it's a pity both of us are so busy. We could do this more often.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes work just gets in the way of a lot of fun, doesn't it?
It does. I tell you what, and with the time of the year that's coming up, there's no finer time to be in the outdoors in South Carolina than fall.
I agree.
Well, you guys, Local Hiker, and in fact, congratulations. I saw where you were voted the Small Business of the Month by the Spartanburg Chamber of Commerce. Congratulations on that.
Yes sir. Yeah, they're an integral part of downtown, and we appreciate them recognizing us.
And but you guys have got something really fun coming up next weekend. Is it too late for a team to get registered, or can they still get in on this thing?
No, they can still get in on this thing. We're avoiding registration the day of the event, but you can come in the shop or give us a call. We can register you over the phone. You know, plus the application is right there on our website. You can click the link and take care of it there.
And it's called the Local Hiker Outdoor Challenge. You guys have a great relationship with Camp Croft over in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So take a few minutes and tell us about the Outdoor Challenge.
Yeah, so the Outdoor Challenge is going to be we're capping it off at 25 teams this year. We're not there yet, but it's 25 teams, 5 challenges, 1 day. So that's kind of the mantra. So there will be a series of challenges. It's 2-person teams.
Okay.
And basically... the first team to finish all the challenges is the first place team, second place, and,
yeah,
and third team, third place. So after that, we're going to serve everybody lunch. I can't give too much information with regard to the challenges.
Sure.
It's kind of the big secret because we don't want people to preemptively have an advantage that may get the opportunity to go out there and practice.
Sure.
But, you know, if you're comfortable in your outdoor skills and your ability to, you know, be prepared to some extent, then you should do okay. And at the end of the day, I think everybody will just have a good time. Of course, we're going to give you lunch. Everybody gets a swag bag at the front end of it when they check in with the registration table, and that right there offsets the cost. It's $30 a person, so it's $60 a team.
Okay.
And you're getting well over that in a swag bag. So there's some great stuff going on. We're excited about it.
Okay. Without giving too much information, are they going to get dirty?
No, they're not. Yeah, we're not going to have them crawling in the dirt. So there's no, but I mean, you're going to be in the woods to some extent, and you'll be, you know, there, nobody has to. I'll tell you this much: you don't have to swim.
Okay.
So you won't get dirty other than just, you know, being in the woods and natural. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you fell down, yeah, you're going to get dirty. But yeah, you know, I can't control who falls down. So.
You can only take their money and register if you can't vouch for their hand-eye coordination, huh?
That is completely correct. We will have a waiver you'll have to sign so we can avoid any responsibility affiliated with that.
Oh, very good. Well, there you go, folks. If, you know, grab a buddy, grab a wife, grab a kid, register for the 25 teams, 5 challenges, 1 day at Croft State Park with the local hiker. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
You do have to be 21.
Do have to be 21.
I just wanted to throw that out there. You got to be 21. Yeah, I better mention that.
Okay, so your kids have to be older, maybe out of the house by now.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, look, take a second. You got the local hiker there, which is a great camping outdoor store. What's new in the camping world as far as what you got coming in for the fall, or what's been hot over the summer?
Oh, yeah. It's, well, of course, Chacos and Enos are always hot over the spring and the summertime. You know, folks love, the Chacos, a comfortable outdoor sandal, and then, you know, you lounge around in that Eno hammock.
Oh, yeah.
And life doesn't get any better than that. As far as the fall stuff's coming up, you know, the new series of backpacks from Osprey and/or Deuter, a lot of the new shoes coming in affiliated with, hiking and backpacking are coming in. And then, of course, the apparel, Patagonia, huge line for us. Everybody loves Patagonia. It's a very popular environment for a lot of the high school and the college kids and folks that have an active lifestyle. There's a lot of good lines out there that we bring into the store. So there's a lot of great stuff coming in. It's coming in every day, or it seems like we're checking stuff in every day. So. you know, just getting prepped for everybody that's got the bug to get back out when the cool weather sits down and stays with us.
Yeah, it's coming. It's going to have a little hiccup this weekend, but I think cool weather's on the way for certain. And
yes, sir.
And, you know, you got the hiking store, but y'all opened up an ice cream store this summer.
And we did, yeah. It's a full-blown ice cream parlor.
Full-blown ice cream parlor. How's it doing? I mean, you're about 3 months into it. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, Spartanburg is you know, they're chomping at the bit for the growth. So the residents and the surrounding folks, are they love it. So they come in and they're having a good time and we're blowing up on social media. The place is called Hub City Scoops, where, you know, it's, Spartanburg is the hub city. So we're right. Hub City Scoops. And, you know, just come on down. Everybody loves it. I don't know if you know what a flight of beer is, but we serve a flight of ice cream. So.
Okay.
And people love that. That's what's, it's actually on the flight board. We put the ice cream directly on there and the ice cream's out in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's considered a super premium ice cream, which means it's like really rich and creamy. And, you know, if you're looking for healthy, you probably just want to grab a bag of carrots or something because this ain't it.
And there are some things that are worth, you know, blowing a diet over, and a good scoop or two of ice cream is one of those things.
Oh, you got that right. Or you know, hey, a little reward at the end of a long hike.
Sure.
Going a long hike, come get you some ice cream. Yeah. You already burned the calories. It's all good.
That's right. And then you can go in the local hiker and pick up whatever, something that you lost during the hike or something you figured out you needed during the hike, right?
I mean, we can tie
this into a vicious circle if we'd like to.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the intent, right?
That's exactly right. a couple more things that I want to go over with you. I noticed on your Facebook page you had a cleanup day.
Yeah. So we just completed that, and that was the Chinkapin there in Spartanburg over by the Milliken environment.
Right.
You know, we sent a team out there, and some scouts and other folks joined us, and I think we picked up well over 20 pounds worth of trash, which is, is great on one hand and kind of sad on the other. Right. You know, that there's 20 pounds of trash, and it was primarily in and around the trail head. Of course, they hiked the trail to clean up along the trail, but the bulk of that trash came in and around the trailhead. So I'm not sure why people feel the trailhead's a trash can, but we're there to help clean it up, and we try to do stuff like that on a routine basis. As long as you watch the web page, or we'll post something on Facebook, participation's always appreciated. But the local hiker is definitely about improving our environment in the outdoors.
Yeah, you know, I know you guys had a seminar back this past summer, I believe it was, called Leave No Trace.
Yeah, we did have a Leave No Trace program. Yep. And that was the actual the national organization that had asked us to host it. So the national Leave No Trace group came down and hosted an event with us. But and we hope to see them again soon. They did a fantastic job. Leave No Trace is a great set of principles, to help us leave the outdoors to the next generation. You always leave something better than you found it. That's our.
And when you come out of the woods, the only thing you should have left back there would be your footprints.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And the more footprints, the better. We like to get people involved in the outdoors.
Oh, yeah, man. It's some people just don't even know what they're missing. And go on a hike or a little fishing trip or anything like that to get you into the outdoors, you see things that people don't ever get to see. And yeah. It's something to be truly thankful for.
And when you're out there, folks got to remember, when you're out there, you're not in a race. I mean, you're going to be in a race if you go to Croft next Saturday. That's going to be a race.
Right.
But
yeah.
But when you're just going out on those little day hikes and or little fishing trips, it's not a timed event. Slow down. Enjoy things.
Enjoy the outdoors. Yeah, man, there's lots to see. Pay attention to what's going on around you, because we have a fantastic resource just right here in the upstate, all the trails and state parks. And, the Smoky Mountain National Park is the most visited national park in the United States of America. That's right here in our backyard.
That's right. That's right. Well, speaking of trails and parks and hikes and all, what's, we're still looking for that cold, cold weather. In fact, the other morning, this is funny. I went outside and it was relatively cool, and I went out there with the dog and I took in a deep breath. And there'd been a skunk in that neighborhood last night. So that's kind of a rude awakening. I was ready for that fresh, clean, cool air smell. And instead, I got a big old dose of Mr. Pepe Le Pew, which was just not the way I wanted to start my day. But that time is coming. The hikes, of course, if you get the higher up you get in the elevations. I was in Cashiers the other week, and it was nice and cool up there. Where's a place that somebody could go that's maybe one of your favorite hikes? Take half a day.
It's there's so many hikes. When I do a hike, the hike is a reward in and of itself, but I truly love getting to a destination point in a hike, and it usually culminates in a waterfall. So I love the waterfall hikes. It's just a natural beauty spot, that, like I said, that nobody can get to unless you're hiking to it.
Yep.
And we've got so many of them here in the upstate. Rainbow Falls is probably one of my favorite. Kings Creek Falls is another fantastic one, and they're all good half day hikes, easily accessible. You can come into the shop and we can show you how to get there.
Okay.
If you need the equipment, we can gear you up, and we just want people to enjoy the outdoors and enjoy it safely.
Yep.
And we can help you get there. There's a ton of hikes, but those are probably a couple of my favorites.
Very good. Well, it's always good to talk to you, Michael. The website is thelocalhiker.com. Facebook page, you can find them there at The Local Hiker, and you can find them downtown Spartanburg, Hub City, and you can go get you some ice cream after you visit the store. I appreciate you being
That's
on, Michael.
Right. Yes, sir, Roger. You guys have a great day. We truly appreciate you guys continuing to support us.
Yes, sir. Anytime, and anytime you got things going on, just don't hesitate to call me.
Will do, bro.
Appreciate it, Michael. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope when you're out and about and you want to check out new local business, I hope you live in Spartanburg and go visit the local hiker. worlds of knowledge. I walked in there one time before I bought my first hammock, and the young man that was in there probably spent 20 minutes with me talking about different hammocks, single nest, double nest, the different ways to attach the tree. And I'll give you this piece of advice. If and when you buy a hammock, and you need to buy one sooner rather than later, go ahead and get it, because a hammock will come with ropes, which is, you know, I guess the cheap way to get you out there. Go ahead and buy either a set of Eno straps or one of the other manufacturers that allow you to, it's a black web, and they have loops. Well, the Enos that I have loops every 2 inches. So you can adjust, my goodness, I guess I've got 9 feet of adjustment on each end, so 18 feet there plus your hammock. I mean, you can really, it doesn't matter that the two trees aren't exactly where you want it. I'll give you that piece of advice, and they're about $40 or $50, but it makes all the difference when you go to set that up and you're looking for the perfect pair of trees and they're just not there. You can improvise. You can even go off your car if you have to, but it's just a, and the nice thing about it is, as was explained to me, when you tie your rope to go around a certain tree that you're going to be sleeping in for that night or hanging out during the day, those knots are going to get pretty embedded. You take your weight and for a couple of hours on those things, it's going to be hard to undo them. And that's why those straps are so good to have. And if you lose one like I did and you have one left over, then that becomes the ridge line for your tarp or whatever over top. And then you have all these little hooks you can hang stuff from. So, yeah, there's my one piece of advice for the next 6 months to you. But Local Hiker is a great shop. I encourage you to go over there and look for yourself. Deer season forecast is good. With the 2016 deer season open in some parts of South Carolina and going to be open in more parts here very, very shortly. Primitive weapon season starts Saturday, and the regular gun season comes in about a week and a half later. South Carolina's deer population is healthy, and the season outlook is good. Although the deer harvest has been on a downward trend the last few years, indicating that population levels have moderated, hunter success and deer harvest rates remain good, according to Charles Ruth. Top counties for harvest in 2015 included Anderson County, Hampton County, Spartanburg County, Bamberg, and Orangeburg, with each of these three counties exhibiting harvest rates in excess of 13 deer per square mile. Very few areas in the United States consistently yield comparable harvest figures. So, now then we got the new regulations coming in next year, which is a whole other topic. But I don't know if you know this. You can go, and every year South Carolina DNR puts out a deer harvest report, and you can get that. It's free. It's at www.dnr.sc.gov/wildlife/deer/index. But it's an interesting report. A lot of statistical sampling goes into it. There are no hard, firm numbers, but looks like it's going to be a good year for deer. And according to Ducks Unlimited, duck numbers are holding steady. Most species remain well above long-term averages. And if you don't know what the long-term average is, you need to do a little bit of research. This is back from August 10th. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released its report on the 2016 trends in duck breeding populations. Based on surveys conducted in May and early June by FWS and the Canadian Wildlife Service, overall duck numbers in the survey area are statistically similar to last year and remain steady, which is good. I understand they just had a really good blue-winged teal season down in Louisiana. That's a great place to go duck hunting if you ever get a chance to go. I'd encourage you to go. It's anytime you get near the terminus, like the coastal regions or whatever, you just get a really mixed bag of ducks. And we used to go down and hunt Lake Catahoula. And in fact, I forget who put up a picture of a blind on Lake Catahoula with a flock of blue wings around it yesterday. I forgot who that was, but just a great place to go duck hunt. Mallards, they are plus one over last year and up 51% over the long-term average. Gadwalls down three, but up 90% over the LTA. Widgeon up 12% from last year, up 31%. Green-winged teal up 5%, up 104. Blue wings were down 22%, but still 34% above the LTA. Shovelers were down 10, but up 56. Pintails down and down over the long-term average. So that's some work, conservation work to do. Redheads, you know, I go to Texas to shoot redheads, chase redheads, and people start asking me, what are you down there chasing? But it's a duck, trust me. They're up 82% long-term average. Canvasbacks up 26, and scopper up 14, so about on average. So it looks like ducks are on the rebound, and with all the conservation efforts going into that, they should be. And if you don't know about this, the Wood Duck Box Program right here in South Carolina, back in the 60s and 70s when the wood duck population tanked because there were not enough native trees with holes in them for the wood ducks to nest, they came up with a box. And if you've ever ridden numerous roads, you look off in the edge of a swamp or something, you see this box with a sloping lid and about a 4-inch round hole in the front. That's a wood duck box. And an amazing thing is to watch a wood duck in full flight go through that hole into the box. I mean, not landing on the lip, but going through the hole as fast as they're flying through the air. I don't know how they do it, and I don't know how they stop before they hit the back of the box. But anyway, in South Carolina and up and down the East Coast, one of the major restoration and conservation efforts was on the wood duck, and it's worked. And you can continue to have an impact. Like I said, their normal nesting is in cavities, but those few of those natural cavities are available today because of human activity and development. So they have a wood duck box. You can get one or numerous ones. It's an application process. You can get up to 5 boxes per applicant for distribution throughout the state. There's a form you can download. It's available, I found, at the Department of Natural Resources webpage. Just Google Wood Duck Box Program, SCDNR. And it's, it wants to know, your name, where the duck boxes are going to be, name of property owner, and where you can pick them up. The distribution centers are the DNR office at Clemson, Sticks Fish Hatchery in West Columbia, DNR office in Florence, the Dennis Wildlife Center in Bono and Donley in Green Pond, South Carolina. So there, and you don't have to be a duck hunter to do this. I mean, if you've got a piece of water, and you can either put these up on trees or 4x4 posts, the predator guards are really important to keep things from crawling up the post and getting to the ducklings. But this is a way that you can have, even if you don't hunt, an impact on wildlife. And I encourage you to get involved. It's a free program, and the boxes are really cool, too. Let's see. I wanted to kind of take you through in the closing minutes here. I got 4 minutes left or so. 10 surprises you may not know about being married to a hunter. It takes a special person to marry a hunter. I could give you a telephone number if you'd like to call someone and find out firsthand. When you say I do to a hunter, you're committing not just to a person but a lifestyle. Here are 10 surefire signs you're married to a hunter. You ready? Number 1, hunting season never ends. Between big game, small game, waterfowl, and nuisance species like hogs and coyotes, chances are something is always in season. Even if your spouse only hunts deer, you can bet the rest of the season is the rest of the year is considered scouting season. If you're married to a hunter, hunting season never ends. And if you're married to a guy that hunts and fishes, it's your toast. 2, you'll become a hunting season widow or widower. Unless, of course, you're a hunter too, you can count on managing your household solo until the end of closing day. You'll be left alone with the kids, the dogs, the yard work, the house cleaning, and you get the idea. When you find yourself feeling like a widower, just open the freezer door and count your blessings. You didn't have to buy all that meat at the grocery store. 3, you'll become an expert on hunting season dates. Your life will revolve around them, so the sooner you learn them, the better. Family vacations, social gatherings, and even the birth of your kids will have to be carefully planned so they don't interfere with hunting season. If you're married to hunting, you should have learned this early on the minute your fiance told you a fall wedding was out of the question. A catalog from, and you can fill in the name, has a permanent place on the back of your toilet. Your spouse is in the bathroom for 30 minutes, actually making use of the facilities. He is actually making a shopping list of the latest gadgets they need to have for the upcoming season. 5, need to do laundry? Forget it. Your regular laundry will be backlogged because every piece of scent locking camouflage must be washed in a separate load using its own special detergent and dryer sheets. My wife is rolling around on the floor at my house right now. The same person who has folded so much, not The same person who hasn't folded so much as a single T-shirt in 24 years will all of a sudden operate your washer and dryer like a professional dry cleaner. Where to hang mounts will become a common argument in your house. Yeah, I lost that one. When you have a bigger house, you lose arguments like that. This lady has a trophy mounted above the buffet table in the dining room. I'm not near that bad. In the event of a zombie apocalypse, your house can double as a small armory. Yes, we know about that. Subscribing to DVR service is critical if you want to watch anything other than hunting shows. 9, shopping for special occasions is easy. Being married to a hunter takes all the guesswork out of shopping for birthdays, anniversaries, and Christmas. If it's camouflage, shoots a projectile, or attracts an edible four-legged species, you can count on your spouse being elated to unwrap it. Number 10, you could never imagine being married to a non-hunter. Hunting is a way of life for the entire family. When you marry a hunter, you know your spouse possesses the exact qualities you would want passed on to your kids. You'll never find anyone more determined, patient, hardworking, or dependable. Your children will be raised with a love and respect for nature, and you can be confident they'll have a greater appreciation for where food comes from. So I'm sure I wasn't saying anything new to a lot of you, but to some of you I was. And like I said, wives all over South Carolina are rolling on the floor right now. And it's over for another year. Not another year, another hour. Wow. I had a thing here from Winchester. We'll pick it up next year, next week. As always, make time to get out there. Get a pair of binoculars. Take the back roads when you can and be careful when you're out there. See you next week on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hit me from behind. Yes, I'm